Cambridge 105 Radio.
Hello, I'm Harry Jones and welcome to the 105 Football Weekly, the podcast where we bring you the best interviews and debates from Cambridge 105 Radio's football shows over the past 7 days. In today's episode, you can hear from Ollie Slack from Wednesday's Cambridgeshire Football Show midweek, where he talks to Cambridge City women's captain Becca Fay. You can hear the gossip from Tim Armitage on From the Terraces, where he discusses Histon's recent news. But first, we turn our attention to Ollie Slack as he talks more on the recent departure from the FA Cup against Exeter for Cambridge United.
Let's move on and talk Cambridge United then, of course, because they're out of the FA Cup. They lost last night to Exeter City 1-0. As I said, that's twice in a row now the U's have gone out in the first round of the FA Cup. It was Guiseley last year. Horrible, horrible game, but Guiseley. And they missed out on a chance of playing Hartlepool United in round two. And they are non-league Hartlepool, so you could say missed out a chance on getting into round three. Matt Lockwood joins us on the line now. Matt, thanks for coming on the show.
Good evening, Ollie. You all right?
Yeah, very well, thank you. I'm guessing you didn't go to Exeter.
No, I didn't. I listened to it on the radio. I have to say,
that's bad enough, isn't it?
Unthrilling 90 minutes of football I've ever listened to. And as you know, I go to most games home and away as well. So it's just like almost being there. Incredibly disappointing evening all round, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, as a fan, how disappointed are you, Matt, to be Exeter in the FA Cup at the first round once again?
It is, as you say, it was a winnable tie if we could have got through against Hartlepool at home as well. I think the problem is going down to Exeter, our record's not particularly great there, and not getting the job done in the first game at home, when you would have probably backed us in terms of, we beat Exeter 4-0 a couple of weeks previously, and we didn't really turn up, and we haven't turned up in recent weeks at all. And it's incredibly disappointing that, yes, I know we've got injury problems, and I'm sure Colin Moore will point at that, with lack of creativity and lack of options. And obviously, I think it was about at least three youth players on the bench, with their debuts potentially could have happened had they come on. And but the team that was out, were good enough to try and do something. And I think that's the most disappointing thing. I don't think we've worked the goalkeeper all night. We haven't even had a corner out of the game. And in all fairness, it's not good enough. And it's something that, we need to be looking at. We're completely and utterly stuck in a rut right now. Performances aren't great, and it's down to Colin to sort of get his hands dirty and find out the root of why it's happening and what's going on and the ways that he can change it.
Yeah, certainly is. In terms of the stats last night, the U's had two shots, none on target. According to this website, they had no passes. I'm not sure that's completely true, although Matt may vouch for something different if he listened to it on the radio. No corners either, like you said, Matt. In terms of, like we say, the next round against Hartlepool, the U's have missed a massive chance. Had they got through last night, had they got through a week last Saturday as well with the game at home, looking back over the tie as a whole, where do you think they missed the biggest opportunity? Was it that home game when Exeter were coming to the Abbey, having really been scarred from the last 4-0 loss they suffered, and the U's seemed to set up pretty defensively?
Yeah, I think the home game was always our biggest chance. As I say, we've not got a good record down at Exeter. It's very, very rare that we actually win down there. The home game is what you have to point at, because you are at home. As you say, you've got to go out and you've got to dominate the game. And, Colin set out a little bit more defensively. It's very, very true. Again, I think sort of lack of midfield options might have sort of tempered the way that he wanted to play. But, you go to a replay and you've got just as much chance as the home game. It's down to the players to go out there and try and put a performance in. They knew what was at stake. They knew what the financial rewards could have been in terms of, I think the game's on a Sunday. So we'd have got a little bit more money being on the BBC show and showing highlights. We'd had a home game with, potential of getting into the third round and what obviously that could potentially bring again. And we've had it before. So, the players have got to look at them. I think, as I say, performances haven't been good. you know, Collins sets them out to play away, and if they don't execute his orders, that's not down to him. You know, it's epidemic in football. You know, the manager sometimes takes the blame for players' performances, and you hear him coming out, and you heard him come out against Exeter. And, you know, we got out of jail. We were a 94th minute equaliser from Sam Smith in the first game, and last night they've created absolutely nothing again. And you know, there were obviously some issues there. Some players are, you know, out of form. And Collins got to look at it, because obviously he can't carry on for too much longer, because we're going into a busy Christmas period and we're nicely placed in the table. We've got a potential to climb a little bit higher for sure. But, you know, we need these players back, and we need these players firing that are still around in the team at the moment.
Yeah, zero shots on target, Matt, last night. Only 8 shots on target in the last 4 league and FA Cup games as well. So not great stats there. 2 wins in 14 games in all comps, which is, you could say, relegation form. How do they go about changing it? How does Colin Cole go about changing it? Is it anything he can do? Is it personnel? Obviously, you mentioned the injuries. Is it the shape? A lot of talk about 5 at the back, 3 at the back, 4 at the back, whatever. Is it perhaps being a bit brave and being a bit more attacking, like we mentioned there in the Exeter game, he was slightly more defensive. What's your view on it?
I think the sort of the 3 at the back or the 5 at the back, whichever way we call it, I think has got to be binned, Ollie. If I'm honest, looking at the game Saturday at Walsall, and you know, the 2 guys were conceded in 10 minutes. Well, you've got 3 of the most experienced centre halves that we've got in the football club, and if you look back on the highlights, defending's absolutely atrocious. And you look at last night's goal, and Collins come out and said it himself, you know, if you can't defend that type of movement, then, you know, we're in trouble. Now, that points at that the personnel aren't good enough, or, you know, they're not suited to his system, and that's down to him to get those players in, of course, you know, and the recruitment board and everything. So I would expect perhaps changes might be made in January if possible, but you know, if not, hopefully the summer. But has Colin got to change his way of working and go to this 4 at the back if it's going to make us a little bit more tired? Because when we've played the 4 at the back and the kind of the diamond, which we did, in, you know, at times in the second half Saturday as well, we looked you know, a lot more tighter, and there was a lot more going for as well. We were able to get players a bit further forward to support the strike force. So I think that's the one thing that Colin needs to change just for a little while. Injuries, obviously, I think, you know, midfield, if we had the sort of Jack Rose fully fit and firing, I think enough's been spoke about him in terms of, you know, what he can do, and it would be good to have him completely fixed. I thought he, you know, he was the best player on the park on Saturday. Probably struggled a bit last night, and that's to be expected. You know, inconsistency is part of our mantra at the moment. So, but once he gets firing, we definitely look a better side. And I think Samir Carruthers is another massive loss at the moment. But again, we're in that sort of boat where we're carrying injury-prone players. And, you know, it has to be asked of the football club, can we carry on continuing doing that? Because, as we've seen in, you know, in history before, it doesn't work out well for us. And Samir Carruthers is a good player. He's a good ball carrier. And that's what we lack in front of the back four, somebody who gets the ball and just looks for the pass straight away, rather taking sort of 6 or 7 passes to get to a position where one pass could do it. So, you know, there are areas that I think we definitely could. And, you know, the third bit is obviously Luke Hannon's energy in the middle of the park. I think we absolutely miss that, and it makes a massive difference when he's fit and he's in the middle of the park running around and, you know, snapping into challenges. And, you know, his work rate, of course, as well, is second to none. You know, he's been one of the standout players this year. So I think if we had those 3 in the midfield, I think things would look a lot better. But, you know, they're not available, and Colin's got to get more out of Paul Lewis, out of Liam O'Neill, out of George Maris. You know, they're the 3 around at the moment. Obviously, Reggie Lamb's out on international duty. He probably might be back to Saturday.
Has done well as well when he's been in the side, Matt.
Yeah, he's done okay at times, yeah. And I don't like to say that, as you know, Ollie. So, you know, he could make a difference as well. So, you know, there are options. And then the strike force, well, he called, Colin called on the two youngsters, Harvey Nibbs and Andy Dallas, to go out there and make an impression. If Mark Richards is out for a little while, and we know Jarbo is going to be out for a little bit longer, then they've got an opportunity and they've got to go out there and take it. So, you know, and that's got to start really this Saturday, you know, at Carlisle, who are managing us at the moment.
Certainly has. Lastly, Matt, before we go to a break and then talk about that Carlisle fixture this weekend, murmurs of Coldwood out on Twitter and social media. And when I mean murmurs, I do mean very small murmurs. But are you buying into that at all?
No, absolutely not. I think at the end of the day, we're in a rut, and all those people saying, you know, it's, you know, bring back the Derry days and the Dunn days, just deluded. Yeah, it's not, I know we're going through a bad patch now, but, you know, let's think back to the beginning of the season when we were firing on all cylinders. And, you know, I think the stats were like 20 plus shots on goal in some games. You know, these types of blips do happen. It's not the time to panic. I mean, we've just handed Colin a new 2-year deal, so they're definitely not going to get rid of him yet. I don't think the club can afford to do that yet. But he definitely needs time. He needs another January window. He needs another August window to go out there and, you know, get the right players to push on. I think his aim of, you know, the playoffs, you know, far beyond what we can actually do. I don't think we'll get the playoffs this year, Ollie, because we're not consistent enough. But he's got to have another two windows to get the right players in that he wants and then go from there. And we've still got a lot of dead wood that need to go as well. So not for me, not just yet. You know, I think this time next year, and if we're still struggling, if we're still down in 13th, then I think, you know, perhaps, yeah, we need at Colin's position and where we're going. But right now, no, we're exactly where I expect us to be and where I expect us to end at the end of the season.
That was the Cambridgeshire Football Show midweek with Ollie Slack from 6. You can tune in every Wednesday. They were chatting about Cambridge, their departure from the FA Cup, but although they were covering quite a few negative points with the play and how Cambridge have played, I think this could also turn out to be a blessing in disguise. They can now focus on the league, try and just secure that upper / mid-table finish that most people would have taken at the beginning of the campaign. Next up, we caught up with Cambridge City's captain, Becca Fay, to talk their recent form during their debut season in the South East Division 1.
Thanks for coming on the show, Becca.
Cheers, Ollie. Thanks for having me.
How are you doing? You good?
Yeah, well, thank you.
Good. How do you feel the season's gone so far then? Like I just said, 10th out of 12, your first season in the Women's National League as well.
I think if you'd asked us that a couple of weeks ago, probably would have been a little bit of a different answer. We're feeling a bit better about our position in the league now, having got another point against Stevenage last weekend. So we've just climbed up a place. I think, as I said previously, none of us expected it to be easy. Obviously, with the two or three seasons before that, we knew that the season was going to be very different. I think we're feeling a bit better about our position now.
Yeah, you mentioned the point against Stevenage on the weekend. Just gone, moved above your rivals, United, as well. So nice little bit of bragging rights for the moment.
Just for now, but it's a long season. So yeah, a bit disappointed with just the point. I mean, I think it could have gone either way, but I feel like we could have got the win. So perhaps 2 points lost there rather than one gained.
Yeah, and in terms of making the step up into the National League, have you noticed a big step up in standards from your time in the Eastern Region's Women's Premier?
Definitely. I mean, we're quite a young, sort of almost naive side, and I think the physicality and probably the pace of the game is a lot different. There's a lot to learn still, but we're growing into it.
And 10th out of 12, do you feel that is a fair reflection on your form? I think if you look back at the game so far, you picked up really decent results a few weeks ago, 4 points from the games against Norwich and Wimbledon, 2 away trips as well. Then you had a loss against League Leaders Ipswich, but as far as I'm aware, speaking to both Tim and Darren, you had a pretty good performance. Then you've had a month break due to cup matches, so a bit of a disruption there. Has the cup games come at a sort of an awkward time for you when you're just sort of finding your form in the league?
Potentially. I mean, you can look at it that way, but then sometimes it's good to have a break as well. We didn't really want to get too carried away. We have played sort of three out of the top four sides away, so that's a positive take. We've got all of those sides at home. And like you say, the result against Ipswich, okay, it was a loss, but it was only 3-1. And when you look at some of the results they're getting against other teams in our league, that's not too bad. So, yeah.
Got a game this weekend away to Kent Football United. You were actually due to play them last the weekend, just gone as well, but they're in County Cup action. It's a pretty big fixture, this one. Kent down at 12th in the table, so sit rock bottom. It's a big game for you.
Yeah, it is a big game. I wouldn't say it's a must win, but definitely a big game. I think they're definitely looking to get their first point in the league, having had some quite good results themselves recently. They've not managed to get a win yet, so I'm sure they'll be up for Sunday's game.
And in terms of the sides you haven't played so far this season, you've got Actonians, Enfield and Kent to come. Is it difficult to prepare for games against those sides? Because obviously you are fresh into the league and you haven't really played against them too much, I imagine, over the last few years either. So in terms of preparation and know-how of how they play, it'd be quite difficult.
Yeah, definitely. I don't think we've played any of those sides before, to be honest. So we don't know anything about them, but in the same way they don't know anything about us. I mean, they can look at other results in the league, but it's all a bit of a mishmash, I think. So I think we've just got to sort of play our game, build on what we're working on in training and just take that into the game.
And in terms of season aims, Becca, what was your first thoughts coming up into the National League at the start of the season? Have those aims changed at all after sort of settling into the first eight games of the season?
Initially, I think it was just a case of staying up. So sort of first few games of the season when that wasn't looking too promising, I think now we're settled a bit. So yeah, definitely that's still the aim, and obviously to get just keep climbing up the table.
And in terms of the Christmas period as well, looking at the fixtures coming up in December and the last ones in November and then to January, they're a bit sporadic in terms of you've got big gaps between the fixtures. Is that difficult for you girls to play in terms of there's not really any pattern to the fixtures? You've got one left in November, two in December, then look at the fixtures, one in January and then quite a few in February.
Yeah, I mean, obviously momentum is always good to pick up, but there's not too much we can do about that. I think even with the fixtures over December and January, you've obviously always got the weather and things like that. So I think we've got a cup game in January as well. So there shouldn't be too much gap. Obviously over Christmas, everyone has a couple of weeks, but it's just important to sort of train and stay fit over that period.
Of course, the County Cup as well, which you'll be looking to right the wrongs from last year. But Becca, thank you very much for coming on the show, and I wish you all the best this weekend against Kent.
Cheers, Ollie. Thank you.
Once again, that was Ollie Slack on the Cambridgeshire Football Show midweek. It's always nice to keep up with how our local ladies' sides are getting on and hopefully give them the support to push on and achieve bigger and better things, because we all love the game, so it's good to support everybody and anybody. Finally, we head over to Tim Armitage on the terraces for some chat about Histon's recent form.
Hi, Lance. How you doing?
Very well. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad. We were just talking about Maldon and Tiptree. I think eight games, eight wins prior to you going there. You've always had a good record against some of the top clubs. You're coming off the back of a cup win and a league win, and then the postponed game, obviously midweek. It was a great game for you, held your own throughout, scored in the 81st minute, and it was only an 88th minute equaliser that stopped you picking up all 3 points.
Yeah, I think it was, in some respects, it probably was a good time to play them. Obviously, they've had a very tough week. You know, obviously, the FA Cup game against Orient on a Sunday, and then they played Folkestone and Invicta on the Wednesday in the FA Trophy. I wish they won both games, but obviously, it probably took a lot out of them. So it wasn't a bad time to play them. So, in the grand scheme of things, it still doesn't take away from us how we played, because we defended really well as a group. We did it from the front all the way through the side, and we not only deserve the draw, probably could have nicked it, if I'm honest.
And that brings you into the run into Christmas. You've got Grays next week, who are just above you in the league, although they've played one game less than you. And then you go through that group of Camberwell, Island, Bury Town, Coggeshall, then Cambridge City, all before the end of December. A difficult run of games for you. So that kind of performance must be a confidence boost for you and the team.
Oh, it was massive. I mean, I think, well, you've already related to, you know, the two clean sheets beforehand. Obviously, yesterday was it was a very, very strong defensive performance. And I mean, look, Dangerous on a break. And it was, you know, if you take those three games into the next six or seven and over the entire period, if we play like we did yesterday and the way we defended in the previous two games, then we'll pick up points. And even though it's a tough run, we've got enough in our squad to deal with these kind of games. And it showed yesterday against, you know, undoubtedly probably the best side in our league, you know, that hadn't dropped points before. We were able to match them and we frustrated them. And so it was, you know, going into the Bury games, the Coventry games, it will be no different because they're all good sides. So, but if we can do what we did yesterday and be hard to beat, and we've said this every time we've got beaten, we've been beaten because we've conceded early. If we can stay in games, then we've got half a chance. And yesterday proved that.
And you talk about the squad size and how you've got the size to get through that. We had Alfie Lawrence, 16 years old, made his first league start at the back yesterday. Lots of people talking about what a prospect Alfie Lawrence is for you. A good start against a difficult team, especially back in defence, the amount of goals they've scored. Must be a confidence boost to him and gives you a really good opportunity now.
It does. I mean, obviously, you know, through the lack of players, or players leaving, should I say, and then one or two injuries that we have, he's opened the door for him. And he's been, no doubt, the best, you know, of the scholars that we've used over the last six, seven, 8 weeks. He shows maturity at such a young age. He obviously has the physical side of it, and he reads the game very well. I mean, they had a very quick winger yesterday that he wants to go outside him and get past him because he used his mount, if you like, and got his body in the way and slowed the guy down and defended really well. And so we didn't tell him until about 5-2 that he was playing, so he didn't give him too much time to think about it. And it worked because he had a very, very, very good debut.
Excellent. I just wanted to talk. With the games you've got coming up, you've just played against Romford, and I see yesterday, or the day before yesterday, you made it into the national papers because you were quoted as being the only side that they'd beaten since the start of the season. Unfortunately,
yeah.
I mean, that situation is it's a difficult situation. You've got an owner that's come in, and he's prepared to put in a lot of money. He's had some success at Billericay. He comes in and he sacks Paul Martin within 24 hours, who's been there 15 years. He brings in 14, 15 players. Cambridge City lose out because of it. Is it a good thing or not?
I think it's good for Romford, obviously, because obviously financially they're secure at the moment. But as we've seen in the past, he's certainly one of these people that is very quick to jump as well. And I don't think it's a good thing personally, no, Tim, I don't. I think it's, you know, clubs are built on foundations, stability, people that work behind the scenes. And, you know, you get with a manager like this after 15 years that would have known that club inside and out. Obviously, the squad, some of the staff, you know, it's this big upheaval. And so it didn't surprise me that they lost yesterday, albeit, you know, to a very good Coventry side, obviously. But, you know, you can't just put a group of players together like that and expect them to gel straight away. So it may take them a bit of time, but certainly with his money, you could probably see them moving up the table very quickly.
I mean, it's interesting you make the point that it's good for them, and I guess that's the difficulty, is that if you're a Romford fan, you know, you're going to be excited about what's coming, albeit with a bit of trepidation, you know, in case he just decides to walk away and leaves you in a worse mess than you were before. But as a fan, you'd be very excited by the prospects of going forward. But if you're elsewhere in the league, you know, we've already seen, you know, that City lost players to Romford, so that's difficult for everyone else to deal with.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I think that, you know, from a club perspective, from their perspective, I think obviously, like you say, fans could be excited about it because they can see that this guy's going to pump money into it. You know, bigger players or named players can come to the club. Gates might go up because of it. I mean, they had a decent crowd yesterday. But I still don't think it's healthy, personally. You know, you look at history and the glory days of how we did well and the money that was involved in those days. And then obviously when that money disappears, how difficult it is to bounce back. And you think over the last 10 years how we found it difficult because financially we struggled. And if he walked away from it, then all that finance that he's put into it just goes straight away. So, you know, I don't think it's a secure kind of thing unless he's pledged to it or unless he's signed an agreement that he has to stay for 15 years like the previous manager. He has been great. But I personally don't think it's a healthy option.
Yeah, that was Tim Armitage from the Terraces show from 6. You can tune in every Sunday. Yes, and have had a very sporadic run as of now this season. Let's hope they can string a few results together and maybe get back into top four contention. I mean, it's only 5 points that is needed for them to get back into that competition of the upper echelons of the division. Unfortunately, that is all we have time for in today's show. It's been a bit of a short one, but nonetheless, short but sweet. My name has been Harry Jones, and thank you for listening to the 105 Football Weekly on Cambridge 105 Radio. We'll be back next week for another episode, and sports coverage now continues this week with Cambridgeshire Football Show on Saturday from 12 p.m. Thank you.